Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram was with us at 11 o'clock, and Andy asked him about the trade deadline coming up, and that's some time away. But we've seen some rumblings already. Amari Cooper's name thrown out in a trade rumor. This one was to Kansas City because the Chiefs yesterday, it looks like, have lost Rashee Rice. I don't want to speculate, but could be out for an extended period of time. We'll just leave it at that. After he was hit by Patrick Mahomes when they were both trying to bring down a guy on an interception. Mm-hmm. So we've already seen Cooper's name thrown out there as a guy that the Chiefs might go try and get. Interesting. Trade deadline's coming up. I do think the Browns told you what they think of Amari Cooper here long term when they did not sign him to a contract extension when he had his little contractual tiff and instead gave him some bonus money. And he came back and he's on the last year of his deal. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. Here's what Scott said about your thought, Andy, question to him about Cooper being traded.
As many struggles as Amari Cooper's had this year, I mean, he's clearly their number one receiver. And unless you're going fire sale, you know, you can't trade him right now, right? That's just giving up on the season. So maybe 5 weeks from now, you know, it's a different story and they know they're not going to playoffs. And then you trade him and try to get anything for him. But if you win a couple, then maybe you go out and try to find an addition to that receiver room. Or if your offensive line is still beat up, you find an offensive lineman, right? If you figure out some way to win a few games between now and then. But, you know Andrew Berry, he likes to trade, and I think right now it could go either way. But, yeah, I wouldn't be stunned if things continue in this direction if you see some guys dealt.
I would think that's accurate. However, it's 1-3, okay? It is week four. You can't say anymore, Andy, well, it's only week three. Somebody asked me yesterday, at what point do you say it's only week three or week four or week five?
Week 16, yeah.
I said now.
Yeah.
I said after week four. Now it's, okay, now you got an uphill climb.
Quarter pole.
You can no longer say, well, it's only three games. It's four games now, and you're 1-3. So you have issues, and you got to get them fixed. You win yesterday, you're 2-2, you're fine. You know, you go and you try and get going. But we see the issues. We know the issues. I agree with Scott. You can't move Amari Cooper now. Now, if you get to the trade deadline time, Andy?
It's November 5th, by the way.
Yeah. If you get to the trade deadline and you've played another, what, four games since then? Five games you could play by then.
Right.
And let's say you're, heaven forbid, 2-7.
Oh, I thought you were going to go 1-8.
No, let's say 2-7.
Okay, 2-7.
I'd move anybody who wasn't nailed down.
Including Myles Garrett?
Nailed down to me means contract.
All right.
So in other words, you don't have a contract for next year and I can get something for you, I would do it. Hmm. If that's the way the season goes. I don't think it will, personally. I think they can get it together. But man, it's not going to be easy. Washington's playing well. Philadelphia is a good team, even though they lost yesterday. The Bengals, tough game. Ravens, tough game. Chargers, Jim Harbaugh has them playing pretty solid football.
Not surprised, are you?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I don't know. At what point do you start making the decisions that you're going to start trading guys? Amari seems like a likely target because of the contract situation. I mean, he does. It's easy to kind of say Amari because of the contract situation. And you're like, well, let's try to get something for him before we lose him for nothing. Right? Is that what you kind of – I mean, it's – let's see what they do this week. So in that before – what is it? November 5th, I just said. So prior to November 5th, they play Washington, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and the Chargers.
Right. I just
right.
mentioned
so
those.
Just before the Saints game.
Andy, they're all tough. Right? Aren't they all tough?
Yeah, I wish I could say Washington wasn't going to be tough, but, man, they're putting a lot of points on the board. They found themselves the last 2 weeks. I don't think there's any doubt. They have really found themselves with a young quarterback.
And a running game. They had over 200 yards rushing yesterday. Run the football. Imagine
we could
that.
Get healthy this week, though. There's a real possibility of that. You could have Jed back. You could have Jack back. You probably could have Ninjoku back. I'm not saying that you're going to get Nick back this week, but let's just say you got three of those guys back. All of a sudden, things change drastically. Get them back and hope that they're playing at maximum potential.
What changes drastically is that you have guys back. It doesn't mean it changes the way the team plays, at least not yet.
Well, some guys are a natural upgrade if they get on the field. I mean, Jack Conklin's a natural upgrade. Jed should be an upgrade compared to what we've seen, we all know about Nick.
Let me throw this one at you, though. I'm really high on DeJuan Jones.
I'm not. Not anymore.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Can you not factor in the fact that the kid's coming off of a knee injury?
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to – it could be the same thing with Jed Wills. It could be the same thing about Jack Conklin. It could be the same thing about Nick Chubb. Most times when guys come back from knee surgeries, regardless of whether it's ACL or anything else, you're not 100% back to your old regular self. You might be okay to go and play, but that doesn't mean you're going to play at the same level. I think DeJuan Jones has a really bright future as an offensive lineman in this league. I really do. And I think it's clear that he's hindered by coming back from a knee injury. And I think it might be the same with other guys.
You think maybe he put a couple pounds on too during that injury?
I don't know.
He looks bigger than he did last year.
Which is saying something. Thomas is in Shaker. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Andy. How about them Guardians, huh?
Getting ready.
Them? Nice game yesterday, man. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, sit around all day, find out if the game got rained out. Fun.
Yeah, you know, I just couldn't be disappointed with those guys, you know. The Browns. I watched that game yesterday. Can I ask a question? How does a quarterback, or generally, if you thought your quarterback was going to complete 75% of his passes and complete 25 passes, what do you think he would get over 200 yards?
Yeah, that's something that we've kicked around here. They're the only quarterbacks, is it? Dan, the only quarterbacks averaging less per pass attempt yardage-wise are Bryce Young and Bo Nix. What's that tell you, Thomas?
Either one of three things are true. Either we're not scheming these guys open far enough and we're not calling plays for these players to go far enough. We have no playmakers on this team that can create for themselves, or Deshaun Watson's arm is hurt and he can't throw it down the field consistently.
I don't know. It looked pretty good on that deep ball to Amari Cooper. Now, Amari couldn't have been any more open, you know?
I mean,
it's not that.
And he was, you know, one holding call away from having a 260-yard game yesterday around there.
I think it is. I think it's coaching. I think top to bottom, the problem with this team is they're not prepared. And, you know, I'm not somebody who likes to come on the radio and like to bash Kevin Stansky, but he's been horrible this season. He's been absolutely horrible this season. And I think if he has a bad season, I think Vrabel will be our coach next year. That's just my opinion.
Thomas, thank you. Andy, is that on your bingo card?
Oh, Vrabel. Oh, I forgot to put Vrabel on it. Vrabel's now on the bingo card. In case you're wondering, the bingo card has Vrabel, Flacco, Baker, 64 game, Deshaun Jackson. And I had Watson on there, but I took it off because everyone's talking about Watson, so I can't really. That's not really bingo worthy.
Thomas just said one thing about the scheme and everything else on offense. When Scott Petrek was with us, we talked about what's going on with the offense and are they trying to force feed an offense to fit Deshaun Watson. And I thought Scott had a really interesting response to that when he said, maybe, but don't you need to give that time? Andy, don't you need to give that time?
Time to come back from the injury to be able to play?
No,
like that?
Time to make an offense work that you're trying to tailor maybe to a quarterback skill set.
Isn't that why you brought a new offensive coordinator?
Well, I know,
but instantly be able to do that?
Instantly, I think, is a tough word.
Well, you would think you would bring in an offensive coordinator that understands the abilities and skills of his quarterback to come up with plays that are beneficial to him. Your job is to make him a better quarterback. Come up with plays that'll make him better. I just felt a sense of frustration. It was interesting to hear Deshaun take the blame himself for yesterday's loss, or at least take part of the blame. I mean, Kevin's not going to throw anybody under the bus. Yesterday, again, he said something to the effect of, this is on me. In the end, it's going to be on him. Either he just knows it's coming, or he's going to keep taking the blame because he thinks it continues to win the locker room. I'm not asking him to come out and say, hey, I think Amari Cooper didn't play well today. Hey, Deshaun Watson, can't believe we made that trade. Like, I would never expect him to say anything like that. But by the same token, he's got to hold them accountable. And sometimes in public, there's nothing wrong with it. Hey, our secondary didn't show up today. That's why we didn't win. Or I'm just saying, or our offensive attack was not prepared for this contest. Pre-snap penalties are ridiculous, and I blame the line for that because they know better. We've done this in practice 1,000 times. I'm making up examples here. I don't know that hurts him to say that. And maybe guys look around the locker room and go, you know what, this is my job, man. I better make sure we get this done next week.
Jim's in Strongsville. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys, listen, I don't think it's coaching. I don't think there's not a single position group on this team that's playing even above average right now. I don't know what's wrong.
Corey Bjorkes is above average.
Okay, right? One guy. But
thank you.
So here's the thing. So maybe they're the second oldest or the oldest, depending on what you look at, team in the league. Man, I don't know. They're not meshing. They're not whatever. And I'm not going to blame it on the coaches because you've got a lot of veterans on this team. So that's where the veterans need to take over and lead. And maybe they're not leading. I wish I could put my finger on one or two things that was wrong with this team and say, oh, that's it right there. But I can't. It's a combination of everything. It was like Ross Tucker said yesterday on the broadcast. He's like, it feels like I've said this a million times every day, but there's another catastrophic mistake by the Cleveland Browns. And, Jeff, on your thing with DeJuan Jones, listen, I want to be hopeful for the guy. This was the knock on him coming out of Ohio State, though. When a guy does what the knock on him coming out of college was, that he doesn't work hard and doesn't stay in shape, the knee injury is one thing, man, but I don't think he worked his butt off too hard to get back. So I'm just saying, he looks like what his draft – it looks like, you know, sometimes you get it right and sometimes you don't. And this just might be one of those guys that football's not that important to.
Jim, and thank you. I think that's a big assumption to make. You know, you can take it one of two ways. Either he's injured or if you don't think he's working hard, I don't know what the truth is, but it's probably unfair to say maybe either one. Maybe it's somewhere in between. It's a Browns Therapy Monday, folks. 216-474-0092. I would ask how you fix it, but I'm not sure. The Browns have scored in 4 games. 15, 16, 17, and 18 points.
Well, wow. You want to guess what they're scoring next week?
Well, it's either 14 or 19, isn't it?
I'm going to go with 19. I think 19 is the answer.
That's the way to optimistically look at things. Way to go, Andy. That's swell. How are you going to get to 19?
Some Hall of Fame knowledge on there,
you're
bro.
You're going to get 2 touchdowns, a field goal, and a safety. That's going to be awesome.
I'll figure it out. Will
it be enough to beat the Commanders? We will see. Join us, 216-474-0092. Ken is in Westlake. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ken.
You know, guys, you do what you do for a living and talk sports on the radio. having to say the same things over and over and over again. There's been a few peaks in this time, but mostly it's been valleys. And there are some teams in this league, the Jets, Jacksonville, kind of the Cardinals and San Diego, but maybe Harbaugh will turn them around. But it's organizational. They have organizational problems. And I think Browns are one of those teams. You have a guy in the station who doesn't like to blame organizations, but what do they say about the fish rotting from the neck up or the head up, head down? There's so many things that you just can't you can't isolate one thing because the problem is so huge within the Brown system. Also, good teams, your Ravens, your Steelers, your 49ers, they have personalities. They're about something. Please tell me what the Browns are about.
They don't have personality. They don't. Not right now. You've got Myles Garrett and an offensive line that isn't very good and an underachieving quarterback based on his contract.
We're always flying by the seat of our pants. It feels like we're so helter-skelter. We jump at things like shiny objects, like Baker Mayfield, and now we made this blockbuster trade where we gave up 3 first-round picks rather than, you know, staying course. And I tried going to the Guardians game yesterday, but they got rained out. But I would have never done that 5 years ago. I would have been glued to the tube at 4 o'clock. But hey,
Ken, let me throw this one at you, and thank you.
Thank you for my bingo card too.
Okay, you went for the glossy thing by trying to take Baker Mayfield number one. Well, you had the number one pick, and you needed a quarterback. You're going to take somebody.
Yeah.
And you decided that wasn't enough to get you where you wanted to be, so you thought you upgraded the position. by trading for a guy who clearly was better in Houston than he is here and better than Baker was here when he was in Houston, in Deshaun Watson. That hasn't worked out. What you've done is missed. I don't think that you've gone, you know, just helter-skelter going after the shiny object. What you've done is miss. You missed on Baker. You've missed on Deshaun so far. And other pieces around the quarterback this year haven't been enough to compensate for that. I mean, the organization, I think, has done a fine job, because without the guy that you traded everything for, your team won some games. Both last year and when Jacoby played, they were okay. And on Jacoby, they were, what, 4-7, I think.
I didn't have Jacoby on my bingo card.
Well, there it is. But it's not to me that you don't have a plan. What I think it is your plan is missed twice. And you can still change that with this current quarterback, but everything's going to have to be better, including Deshaun Watson, for that to happen.
All right. Everybody buckle in. I'm going to give you something that's going to make all of you just let out a really angry / depressed groan.
Hang on, I just need you to say Vrabel, Flacco,
is this updated
Baker,
news?
164, Deshaun Jackson,
or is this
Schwartz.
It's the adjusted over-under total from your friends at FanDuel for season wins for the Browns.
Let me guess.
6.
Over-under is 6.5.
Jeff Phelps is correct. The over-under for this team is 6.5.
Yeah.
By the way, the under is currently the favorite. You can get plus money for over 6.5.
Well, let's throw this out at you, okay?
Are you playing the schedule game?
No, but I'm just going to say this. If you looked at the schedule right now and thought before the bye week, what are the three easiest games on the schedule? You just probably played them. Jacksonville, New York, Raiders.
Yep.
I don't know. You might have said Commanders, but I don't think you'd have said Eagles, Bengals, Ravens, or Chargers.
No.
And that's what's ahead after the Washington game. So I can understand. Remember why they set those over-unders, because they're looking for people to wager money.
Right.
But usually the guys in Vegas have a pretty good clue what's going on there, Andy.
Yeah, they could walk across the street and see the game yesterday.
Yeah. Cleveland is in Cleveland.
Hey, Cleveland.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're hanging in.
It's rough with this Browns thing, but I just had a quick question for you guys. In my history of Cleveland sports, is it my imagination, or is it every time that we get rid of guys or trade them away, they seem to do pretty well? I'll hang up and let you guys go through that one, please. Thanks.
I think we believe that because the ones that do well, we want to bank home and we say, oh, look what happened to this guy, right? That when the guys go away and they don't do anything, no one says a word. So we give glory to players that leave here and have successful careers somewhere else.
I would think that's probably accurate.
It's a little distorted way to look at it, but it's kind of.
Yep.
True. It's true.
Greg is in Hudson, Ohio, home of the Explorers.
Hudson?
What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hanging in.
I called on, as we all are. I called on Monday after the Dallas game, and I talked to the morning crew. And I brought up the thing that, you know, at the end of my spiel that, you know, this team is, to me, a 3-4 win team. Back then, I thought this, even before the season. I don't see why Andrew Berry gets all this credit for this talent. I don't see talent on this team, okay? He had 43 draft picks in 5 years. Out of those 43, he's got 25 left in the organization. Out of those 25, 9 aren't even working for him because they're either on a practice squad or they're on the injured reserve, and we got one guy on the exempt list with the commissioner. That leaves you 16 guys, okay? And out of those 16 guys, you can throw 4 or 5 on them because they're not contributing like DTR, all right? The 3 replacement tackles you have all been drafted by this crew. None of them are any good, okay? They might have glimpses of talent. You guys have been clamoring for Jed Wills to come back. Before the guy got hurt, everyone would have run this guy out of town. He was so bad. And now he's going to fix the problem when he comes back. Then they go and sign Jack Conklin. He has missed more games than he's played. And then they re-up him while he's an injured reserve. This just shows a total lack of evaluation from the top all the way down to the bottom.
And I'm just so frustrated with people getting on the radio telling me, well, they got to fix this, they got to fix this. They got to get some talent in here. They got to get football people to run this organization. We don't need people to divide the atom. We need people that know what football is and to actually draft players that are football players that fit your system, which we don't have, by the way. That's all I have to say.
Greg, thank you. I think that the front office has done a real nice job of adding defensive talent to this team. They know what they're looking for in defensive backs, Andy, and I think they've drafted some good ones. They've made some good free agent signings on the defensive side of the ball. They've made some good trades. I think they've done a horrendous job of identifying skill position talent on the offense. I've said that for numerous years, and nothing. I think they did a nice trade to get Amari Cooper, but again, Amari is not CeeDee Lamb. You know, you're not going to get CeeDee Lamb. How do you get CeeDee Lamb? You identify him and draft him. How do you do that when you don't have number one picks? You don't. So that's kind of where you are right now.
Things learned in science class also on the bingo card now. Things learned in science class.
Funny. Mark's in Strongsville. Mark.
Hey Mark.
Yep. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I was going to say, you know, when Deshaun Watson was playing for the Houston Texans, you know, they ran the RPO-style offense, you know, most of the time he was there. And I, in my opinion, they're not utilizing him properly. I'd like to see the Browns use the RPO-type offense, put people in motion. I mean, right now they keep one running back behind the quarterback. You know it's either going to be a run or it's going to be a play action. At least with the RPO, you have more options. You can, you could swing the wide receiver around on, fake the pitch out to from the running back, pitch it out to the wide receiver to run it. I mean, there's a lot more different options you can do when you run an RPO, in my opinion. And I just don't understand why, if Stefanski's calling the plays like this and he sees that the current offensive scheme isn't working, why he doesn't try to make some changes, at least try the RPO for two or three games to see what happens. And if it works, it does. If it doesn't, okay, it doesn't. So I was going to ask for both of your thoughts on that. That's okay.
Mark, thank you very much. I think there are a lot of things that you could try, but I don't think you just try something now, Mark, because what if you try something now and it doesn't work? Well, then now what are we going to do? I think Petrak's point early on in
our
show.
They're 1-3. Who cares? Try anything right now. They're 1-3.
I go back to Petrak's point. If you're trying, if you put this offense in place to try to accentuate Deshaun's skills,
it's not working.
It's four games. Is that enough time? And I'm not going to go it's only four games. But I think Scott's point is valid. Are you going to give up on that after just four games? If so, then why'd you change offensive coordinators? If you're trying to make this work, I think you got to stick with it, and you just don't suddenly change some things. That said, you better do something a lot better because it's not working right now. At 1-3, certainly you're anything but done. I mean, you're only two games out of first place. However, the rub here, Andy, is, and you lost to the Raiders, a game you think you should have won. You lost to the Giants, a team that's not very good, you think you should have beat. And you had a poor performance against the Dallas team that we thought was going to be gangbusters and hasn't been very good. That's the rub here. It's not like you've lost to the Ravens and the Chiefs. You've lost to some teams that you think you should beat, which means, A, schedule gets tougher. B, you're going to have to play significantly better to beat the teams ahead of you. And that's where I wonder, okay, are they capable of doing that? And with the offensive line healthy, the way it's beat up, I don't know. With the skill position guys not stepping up, and now, and I say that I can't blame those guys in particular, because I'll be honest, is it the offensive line's not giving Deshaun enough time to allow the skill position guys to do things? Is it on the skill position guys? Is it on the quarterback? All I know is it's not working offensively, and if you have the skill position talent, it has yet to show itself. And that's tough. That's real tough.
I mean, I'm still holding out hope that, you know, they can get healthy, they can get Njoku back, they can get Chubb back at some capacity. I don't know. Miles, I'm concerned about Miles' feet and his Achilles and all of these injuries. There's a lot of work to be done for this team. They are, you know, but you get a win next week, you're 2-3. I'm not saying they're going to, but you get a win next week, you're 2-3, and everything changes. I mean, this is a gloomy, bad news Browns Therapy Monday. I get it. And a lot of people want to say some things about yesterday, and we're here to provide that platform to get it off your chest. But remember, I'm just saying sometimes we get caught up into the moment, and maybe something crazy happens and things turn around. I do know that I think it's their advantage now that the whole AFC North schedule is still sitting there in front of them and that they can do some damage there. And if they do, then they'll have an opportunity.
Bill is in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. I'm going to change this discussion a little bit because I think it's fairly simple. And that is...
Oh, no, we lost Bill.
Bill, you there?
Bill!
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, no, there you go. Yes. Now you're back.
All right, I'm sorry. But it's always about the teaching. You know, I don't care if you're in the first grade, high school, college. You can have a subject, and there will be one teacher that you just can't learn anything from. You know, it can be algebra or calculus.
Geometry, Bill.
You get a certain
the guy
teacher,
who's drunk all the time.
Not speaking from personal experience.
Right, and then you get a teacher and you understand it. I think we've seen it this year already. We've seen it in Darnold. We've seen it in Baker. We saw it last year in Goff. That for some reason their arm didn't change. They didn't lift more weights. They clicked with the teacher. And I think what's always bothered me a little bit about the Browns is the quarterback, for some reason, has never clicked except for Flacco. And this isn't going to work with this quarterback. I saw last night they were saying that Allen seems to be a different quarterback this year. He's realistic. He's making better decisions. He's not trying to do stupid stuff. Well, who was his coordinator last year?
And for part of it.
Yeah. And so my concern is, I think we all have experienced it, and that is if you don't have a person that can explain it to you and connect it to you and motivate you, and we've also seen it in Baker especially. So that's the thing that I don't see the excitement on the team either. Nobody, and if we get somebody, they usually play down, which means they really haven't bought into the system. And I think that Stefanski, who I think is a great guy, I think his days are numbered because I don't think he gets maximum out of his players. Like if Mahomes came here when he was a rookie, you think he'd be doing Mahomes stuff right now? The answer is no. And so I think Stefanski's days are numbered. Thanks, you guys.
All right, Bill.
If you were playing at home when the home version of Baskin and Phillips Bingo, there were two Baker Mayfields in that call.
Thought we've already had that one crossed off the list for the day.
He's up to six. Six.
At some point, one of these quarterbacks that we've talked about, do you think if he'd have come here, he would have played like this? Well, would have, because the player has the talent, and it would have worked with a coach. You know, the whole, if you had drafted Josh Allen, it wouldn't have worked here. Well, why not? Why not? If you'd have brought in Patrick Mahomes, why wouldn't it have worked here? Maybe you'd have had the right coach at the right time. I mean, maybe it would have worked. I think it's...
Would we have had the patience with that coach? Would we have had the patience?
Well, maybe you wouldn't have had to. Maybe it would have just clicked. We don't know. We don't know the answers to that. Eric is in Williamsburg. Where are you, Eric?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Right here. Yeah, Williamsburg, Virginia.
Okay,
nice.
Good.
Been through there.
Nice.
All right, I got a fair amount of bullets here. I hope I can get through all of them. But,
okay, let's see how you do.
As far as Mahomes and Allen, like, one of my things is that we talk about Baker, there you go, bingo list, how many offensive coordinators he had when he was here. He had four here. I looked up online, he had seven total in his career in 7 years. he's doing all right from what we see right now.
Well, he's on his second one now in Tampa.
Yeah, and look at Deshaun. He's a whole new rebuild of an offense right now in an offseason that he didn't even get to play and practice with that. So I think that's a little bit of unfair advantage there. Moving on over to Stefanski and some of his stuff. You know, it looked like he was playing scared. Since when do we not go for a field goal and say, you know what, I don't think my defense is going to be able to stop them in the last minute? That was kind of janky. Jim Schwartz, so both these guys are coaches of the year last year. Everybody wants to throw them out the freaking window. But last year we were all awesome. Oh, my God, these guys are brilliant, right? Our defense is still ranked middle of the pack. But if you look at yesterday's game, how many times do we say, missed tackle, what the heck? Like, I'm talking to my fiance. She's become a new Browns fan, and she's like, what's going on here? We don't ever miss tackles. That's so true. I haven't seen that in this Schwartz defense in a long time. Amari Cooper, he's playing sad, dude. Ever since he was put on the trading block, dude's got a freaking tear in his left corner eye almost every game, and that's just so disappointing. The body language of this team.
That might have explained the drop. Blurry.
Yeah, droopy. I heard the announcements last night. They're like, oh, my God, Miles isn't in a game. Where's Miles Garrett? He's not in on this play. Well, yeah, dude's freaking, like, nursing bad feet and the calf injury. I'm glad he's only going out there for passing plays. But we can't even stop the run with Miles or without. That's a freaking lame thing right there. And one more piece to finish up with, besides our punter being the best player of the week, is I'm taking my steps. I know his first NFL game up in Washington. It's about 2 hours away from here.
Nice.
And I don't know what I'm supposed to expect for that. I got 50-yard line seats behind the Browns bench. And I just hope we show up, man, because we ain't been showing up. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank
all
you.
All right, Eric.
Wow.
Eric had a lot of points. He said he got them all in.
He got Baker was one, and Schwartz, he got two.
Turning his fiance into a Browns fan. Taking the stepson up. That's fabulous, Eric.
I think they got married there if that became, well, I don't know. Maybe
that's
I don't know.
Nice. That yeah, that's really nice. Eric,
congratulations.
Nice job. Yeah. And, boy, I hope they do better for you. Mike is in Mentor, home of the Cardinals.
Hi, Mike.
Mike.
What's going on, guys? You're going to have to excuse me for 30 seconds. FanDuel, 5,000. Browns under 6.5. Got it.
All
right. Wow. Sorry, but I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist. The way this team's looking, it's I'm surprised that they have them at 6.5, to be honest. They should probably be, it'll probably be down to 5.5 by the end of the week before they play Washington. Mm. Not after they lose against them. you guys were saying last week, I called last Monday, and I think it was Jeff was saying, oh, guys, it's only three games. It's only three games. Well, now it's four games, and now we're 1-3.
And, Mike, I was asked yesterday by the boys sitting here that I was working with, Volnick was one of them, when are we allowed to quit saying it's only this many games? And I said, this week.
Exactly.
So there you go.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, don't encourage
him. I think that ship has sailed.
You're now 1-3. Now it's time to get it. Let's go. I mean,
exactly. 1-3. And the only thing that we have going for us right now is that we haven't played a divisional game. And that starts in 3 weeks against Cincinnati on the 20th. So we have from now until then to start moving. But I think that, I mean, I hate to say this because he was so good last year and I really liked him as our coach, but Stefanski does not have any fire underneath him. You see these other coaches on the sidelines, you know, just getting their players up, and he's just there emotionless all the time. They show him on the sidelines, whether it's a good play, bad play, no emotion whatsoever. And then you hear him on the every Monday we'd listen to him. Oh, we got to get better. We're going to get better. Count how many times at 2:45 he says the word better today. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike. I know nothing makes up for a lack of talent or scheme or anything more than a screaming coach. That always works, Andy.
I don't have a problem with screaming coach.
Hey, we're not very good, but I'm screaming a lot, so I'm showing passion. That means we're going to be better. Come on.
I don't have a problem screaming.
I'm a pain in the butt. Let's go. That makes me a good coach.
You know, someone who has passion isn't bad, though. That doesn't bother me. If their
passion doesn't bother
means
me either.
Yell, I mean, I don't have a problem with
that. I also don't mind guys who are absolutely good coaches and don't show a lot of emotion. That Tom Landry sucked.
It was the hat.
That Mike Holmgren in Green Bay, he was awful.
Well, he wasn't very good in Cleveland.
Well, he didn't coach in Cleveland.
Yeah, because they asked him to coach, and they looked at me.
Larry's in Cleveland, Larry.
My God, thank you on the show. I'm going to say three things right quick. We
go, Larry, go.
We see desire, man. I see him winning the next five games.
Yes.
I see the turning point. You got to lose or to win. I don't care. Man, you play the game. It's a process. Most of all, you put every, they should not get rid of Kareem Hunt. Number two, man, we ought to, man, just man, win no matter what, because if you got to win with any player you have. You got to believe in them. That's the problem. We got to stay in the process, and they're going to win a game because I see the turning point in the L.A. game. Reason why? Because they got desire. Keep that chip on your shoulder. You can go anywhere. Let's go, Browns. I'm diehard fans. I don't care what I say.
Yeah. There you go, Larry.
Yeah. Super. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong show.
The way
Sorry.
To be, Larry.
Sorry.
Wrong. Thanks, buddy.
By the way, I just added Kareem to the bingo board.
Well, how can you add it after somebody says it?
No, I had it on before. That's why I showed it to you. I had it on before, and I can verify that.
B9. Chris, oh, wait a minute. Let me put that on the board.
Nope. Chris Rose's brother, who I talked to during the show, he said, Kareem should be on your bingo board. That was at 12:51. It is now 12:54. Thank you, Bob. That's it. Kareem was in on the bingo board.
Does Chris's brother deserve a ding?
Is that a ding? I don't know if that's a ding. Is that a ding?
No. No, that does. Bob, thank you.
All right, for Rose.
I got a text from my buddy Don. Do I get a ding for that?
Depends. Did he say anything on the bingo board or give you any suggestions? Again, if you're listening along, just have a little bit of fun with us while people play here.
Hey, Don.
On a Browns Therapy Monday.
Don.
Vrabel, Flacco, Baker, 64 game, Texans, DeShaun Jackson, Schwartz, Jacoby Brissett, things learned in a science class, Mahomes, and Kareem, all on the bingo board, and I have one more space.
Can I get a ding for Don?
Why?
Would mean a lot to him.
Give him a ding.
Sure. Apparently, this is something we're doing now.
Ding!
Why don't we sell them?